Welcome to Hot Yoga Radio. Today I'm going to talk about jam roly poly. More precisely, I'm going to talk about metaphors which organise our thinking, feeling, self-understanding, cultural organisation, onto our theological commitments, and so on. Now, for our non-English listeners, I need to explain what jam roly poly is. And maybe even for some of our English listeners, such an explanation is needed. Jam roly poly is a pudding or a sweet food to be taken after cooked meat and vegetables in 1950s style English cuisine. And it's actually a kind of a suety pastry style mix onto which jam is spread. I think jam is the same as jelly, is it? It's just some kind of something made out of sugar and fruit, usually red in colour, spread over the pastry, and then the pastry is rolled up into a tube. So if you look end on at the thing, it's got a spiral of jam. And then the thing is either, I don't know, steamed or put in the oven or whatever. And it's served with hot custard, which is yellow gloopy stuff made out of corn flour and sugar and colouring and so on. So this is a heart attack waiting to happen. But nevertheless, quite delicious. So what's that got to do with metaphors? Metaphors we live by. Well, loads, I think. Now, the dominant metaphor in very, very many cultures, including quite kind of simple ones, but quite complicated ones, and across the ages, certainly we're looking at a couple of millennia probably, at least. The predominant metaphor has been what I call the vertical metaphor. And this is the idea that the universe is arranged in levels. I mean, a common one would be, you know, that there's hell below the ground. There's the earth with its creatures, and then there's possibly kind of layers of celestial spheres, heaven, if you like, in the sky, and there are various different notions around this vertical metaphor. Platonism is the vertical metaphor. Pared down somewhat, refined, made a little bit more logically watertight through philosophical effort, you might say. Platonism roughly says that the objects in our world, chairs, tables and beds are the favourite examples of Plato and so on. But these objects are copies, are imperfect copies of a perfect instance of themselves. So, in some kind of heavenly realm, there is a perfect chair, a perfect bed, a perfect Fred Bloggs, a perfect tree, a perfect blade of grass. And all the instances of these, the particulars that we find on planet Earth, the particular beds, chairs and tables are actually imperfect copies of that perfect form or idea that lodges in some superior realm. And it's a philosopher's job to ascend to that realm through analysis, through thought, through dialectic, in order to gain knowledge of the good. Now the good is the perfect is the form of forms. It's the perfect form of all the forms, the good. And of course, most theologically based societies, from time immemorial, East and West, have sought the good, the form of forms. Anyway, the key thing here is that what is involved is an ascent. If one wishes to sort of gain knowledge, improve oneself, etc., etc., one should live the contemplative life, the philosophical life, and attain to the empyrean, or the higher world, and there apprehend the perfect forms. So that's one kind of metaphor, and as I say, this has kind of been pretty dominant. You find it even in shamanisms, where the idea is that the ancestors are in some kind of better place, and that the shaman spirit consults the ancestors for useful information that will impact on the life of the tribe. And the shaman does this by, perhaps in the Central Asian context, merging with the smoke rising from the fire in the yurt, in the centre of the yurt, out through the smoke hole at the top. And that symbolises the vertical ascent of the spirit of the shaman who is interceding with the gods, stroke ancestors, on behalf of a community. Same vertical metaphor, slightly different use, but for all intents and purposes, the same stuff's going on here. In reaction to this, we might want to become flatlanders and adopt a horizontal metaphor and say, actually, no, you know, this higher world is, as Nietzsche put it, a higher swindle. It's simply the product of the speculative and fantastic imaginations of people with nothing better to do and sit around making up shit. It's science fiction. So, what a pity that our cultures have all been organised along by a fictional story. But actually, hang on, this seems to be what has gone on for a very long time. We organise our lives on some nutters' imaginings, wild imaginings. So yeah, it's natural to react against that and to come up with some idea that, well, you know, it's a swindle. Nietzsche, of course, called it the higher swindle. Platonism, he said Christianity is simply Platonism for the masses. What Nietzsche saw in that situation was that there was actually life denigration going on. Why would we want the higher world? Why would we value something imaginary and over and above what we actually have? And Nietzsche concludes that, well, this is life negation. This is fear of life. And he does mount a pretty fierce case for putting Platonism, or the vertical axis, into the dustbin, even though he himself is fairly inconsistent in sticking to it, particularly in Zarathustra, where the vertical axis takes the form of Zarathustra's retreat to a cave way up on a high mountain. So we have a different use of the vertical axis there, but it's still in there. So okay, we've got vertical axis, horizontal axis, kind of, I suppose Zen, you could say, is horizontal axis stuff, where transcendence and immanence are the same. There's no need to ascend to the Buddha heaven, because this is the Buddha heaven, if only we can see it. No. The trouble with the vertical axis as an organising metaphor for life is that, well, hierarchical metaphysics produces hierarchical social structure. Hierarchical metaphysics apologises for, justifies, and persuades people that hierarchical society is the natural order, because a verticality is inscribed into existence, hierarchy is inscribed into existence. So if you want right-wing politics to rule the roost, just carry on being vertical. I mean, it's no coincidence that the Catholic Church is generally on the right, you know. It's historically it's sought power and hierarchy and dominance over societies. Same time, nice vertical metaphysics. And as far as I can see, there's only one problem with abandoning it. You know, I mean, I do take Nietzsche's point that there's life negation going on here. I prefer Zen, I have to say, to the verticality of the monotheistic religions, or even of certain styles of Indian Buddhism, which inherit the Indian obsession with hierarchy, inscribed, of course, into the caste system. I think Nietzsche's right. Stick it in the bin. Stick it in the bin. But at the same time, we do lose something for abandoning it, and that is a sense that existence, even if it's not arranged into levels, is at least layered. It's not all surface. And I think anybody who meditates knows that. Anybody who's experimented with a psychedelic substance knows that. Anybody who's had a spontaneous mystical experience knows that. Anybody who's woke up and said to themselves, I've just had a really, really vivid dream, knows that. Anybody who's studied quantum physics knows that. Anybody who's studied cosmology knows that. Existence is layered, at least as far as we can apprehend it. And certainly our consciousness is layered. In other words, it has many, many modes of function. Dream, vision, silent meditation, spaciousness, focused awareness, wide awareness, poetic inspiration, and so on and so on and so on. So we need to accommodate, whilst abandoning the vertical axis as a means of gaining a world picture and a picture of ourselves that is functional for us, we need also to incorporate, in our metaphor, layers, differences in function of consciousness and differences in mode of operation of existence. You know, the quantum level doesn't operate on the same level as our kind of human scale level, which doesn't operate in quite the same way as the cosmos at large. And when we apply thought and reflection and mathematical description to the large scale of things. So this is where Jam Rowley Poley comes in. Jam Rowley Poley, of course, incorporates layers, but is non-hierarchical because the layers turn in on each other. And I would say, imagine far more than one layer of pastry, one layer of jam. We put 10 layers of different pastries, 10 layers of different jams, or maybe 100 layers, and then roll it up. So we have like a more complex topology. Not only do we do that, we imagine the whole thing in more than the normal three dimensions, perhaps. Maybe this is multidimensional, allowing for a multiverse. Okay, you would need to be describing this mathematically. It's fairly tricky to visualise. But nevertheless, this can be done. It's topology. It can be done. But not only have a Jam Rowley Poley there like a tube We've got hold of this tube before we've stuck it in the oven, of course, and it's kind of stiffened up a bit. Just give it a twist or two. So there's another convolution in the topography. All right, then you push your finger through, so there are tunnels between the layers. And I think a topological metaphor and a topological description would need to incorporate a notion of convolution and complexity. But we need to bear in mind that this is, it's a metaphor. It's there to give us a serviceable world picture. It's not necessarily true, but it proves itself by its use or disuse. And I think it can be used by individuals, by meditators, by people who are at this juncture exploring their own world picture, their own sense of self, their own place in it all, the nature of the cosmos, and through meditation and through psychonautics and so on. If we try and undertake that project solely informed by the vertical metaphor and unreflectively informed by it, in other words, not knowing that this is what we're doing, I don't think we can do anything except reproduce the idiocy of the past and the life negation of very, very, very many cultures that still holds sway. Similarly, the postmodern flatland thing sells us short because it just fails to incorporate and enable us to work with the fact that existence is, even if it's not hierarchically structured by levels, is nevertheless not all surface. It's not all surface. There is beneath the surface, there is above the surface, there is to the side of the surface. Remember, in outer space there is no up or down. But nevertheless, what we've got here is layers and layers in a convoluted relationship to each other through a complex topology. So, have fun with this, I would say. I would recommend, if you can, if you can get your head around it. And if you ever get to have a dollop of jam roly-poly in it with some nice hot custard over it, by all means indulge, but I wouldn't overindulge, because you'll end up quite blobby. All right, that's my little bit of stand-up for today. Hot Yoga Radio, signing off. Copy that, over and out.